That's kind of an unusual twist on an Irish tune. I'm guessing that it's perhaps a tune that might be unique to this group. They are called Celtic Crossroads. Actually, not so much the name of a group as of a show. Nonetheless, the musicians stay pretty consistent, and they've been on our show before, as a matter of fact, when they were going to be playing at the Dowden Fine Arts Center at Eastern Illinois University in Charleston. It's got to be at least a couple of years now. And David Nalen playing accordion on that. Dermot Hurley is the drummer. Johnny Barrell, the guitarist. Lindsay Moyna, the harpist. Marion Knight on flute, I think, on that one. Michael McClintock on the fiddle. And Richard Nalen. Sound like he was probably doing the pipes on that particular set of tunes. The Bells of Tipperary, The New Mown Meadow, and one called Popcorn Behavior. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show is your connection to local performances. Thanks very much for joining us today. I'm Kevin Kelly. And that's by way of introduction to our show today, which is another in an ongoing series of, fortunate, not really coincidences, but fortunate circumstances that usually allows us to have live in our studio the musicians who are going to be playing on the Piper's Hut Concert Series, which focuses on traditional acoustic Celtic music in the Champaign-Urbana area. And usually folks get in here in time before they do the concert in the evening, and that's what's happening today. In fact, this was kind of a last-minute concert. Tony DeMarco is the Irish fiddler from New York, which will be obvious when he talks, the New York part anyway. And also the dancer Siobhan Butler are going to be playing a house concert tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut series, and they happen to have some open dates en route between there and or here and there or somewhere and somewhere, and it worked out. So, and in fact, I partly played Celtic Crossroads because Siobhan has done some performances with them at some point, somewhere along the line. So, Tony and Siobhan, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Tony, you and I talked... might have been a couple of years ago now when you were on the Piper's Hut series once before. In fact, you did a house concert then, but we didn't have a chance to meet. We chatted on the phone, and so it's always nice to put a face to the voice, yeah. And also attached to the fiddle.
Exactly.
That you have with us.
which is where it usually is attached to.
Oh, the fiddle to the face?
Yeah, the fiddle to the face,
yeah,
right?
Fair enough.
Under the chin.
You're, when somebody says Tony DeMarco, Irish fiddler, one sort of thinks, oh, really? The name doesn't seem to go.
Yeah, it doesn't
what you'd
go
expect.
At all.
How did it go for you? I mean, how did you get into
well,
it?
Well, I guess, you know, it goes back to the way I grew up in East Flatbush in Brooklyn with a very Irish and Italian Catholic neighborhood. So it was a big combination for the Irish and Italians to get together and marry and have kids like me. And it's in my family for three generations of, you know, Irish-Italian marriages. All my family is, most of them are that combination, Irish and Italian, well, back to my grandparents. And then before then, they would have came from Italy or Ireland. My great-grandparents. So on my mom's side is where the Irish connection is, Dempsey's. My grandmother, Philomena Fenimore, or we call her Minnie, was her nickname, and she married Jimmy Dempsey, who was an Irish cop in New York and loved the music, used to take my mom and her sister into the pubs and listen to people playing the jigs and reels and stuff. So even though, you know... it was Italian and Irish, you know, marriages. The Irish actually more so had that cultural tradition of the music a little bit stronger, I think, than the Italians. I always tried to dig up, like, Italian folk music around New York, and it's not easy. There's not that many bands that really do the pure folk stuff, so I'm dying to go to Italy and find out what it's like.
Well, I was going to say, I can't think that I've run across, certainly not on this show, or even, I mean, you don't usually hear
it's mostly
Italian,
like,
folk music.
No, it's like opera or Frank Sinatra, you know? There's not a lot of the real traditional stuff. There's one guy in New York who I found, and he did more like theater stuff with some of the musicians, John LaBarbera. And And he was like one of the few sources I found. But then if you go into some of the gift shops, you know, in Little Italy, you'll find recordings of, you know, they have their own pipes. They have, you know, they definitely have a folk music. It's just not prevalent that I've been exposed to in the States. More, not like Irish music. I mean, you can go into any Irish bar. You can go into 50 Irish bars in New York and find good traditional music. So in that respect, it's just more of it, and I just fell into that more kind of through American music. I grew up rock and roll and that type of thing.
Listening or playing, or both?
Both, yeah, like, you know, top 40 garage band guitar player is what I was as a kid, and then didn't pick the fiddle up till I was 17, my last year in high school, because I needed an extra credit to graduate, and they gave me a choice of English, history, or music. So I took the music class and got stuck in the string section.
But they weren't playing traditional Irish music there, I'll bet.
No, I actually, you know, cut the class most of the time, and the guy wanted to fail me, my teacher, music teacher, and I was taking, like, fiddle lessons and getting into it with a friend of mine with the old-timey Appalachian and kind of bluegrass stuff. So I said, well, before you fail me, I said, let me play your tune. And if I don't play better than any of these other kids that took your class all semester, then you could fail me. So I played like the hoedown, you know, like a square dance tune. Yeah. And he said, okay, Mr. DeMarco,
you can
pass the class. Yeah. So that was my out of high school.
Well, that's not a bad way to get started.
Yeah, and then I just sort of fell into it. You know, I lived around the corner from Patty Reynolds, never knew it. Larry Redigan lived in my neighborhood. Andy McGann and Johnny Cronin and Martin Wynn and all these great players were up in the Bronx, you know. So
these are all fiddlers?
Oh, yeah. These are all the best fiddle players out of Ireland and some that grew up in New York that just had Irish ancestry but learned from the best fiddlers that came over early 1900s. A lot of them from Sligo is kind of the style that we follow in New York from Michael Coleman, whose birthday was last week. He would have been 122 if he was still around. But he was the legendary fiddle player that came over in the early 1900s, did vaudeville and made it really popular and recorded. So when his recordings went out, like in the 30s and 40s, overseas to Ireland, everybody wanted to play like him. No matter what style, you know, the different regional styles have, they all played Coleman tunes, and he was one of the biggest, most popular fiddle players, you know, to hit the States. So that's kind of my lineage, because Andy McGann and Lotto Byrne, Martin Wynn, they all came from that Coleman school of playing. And so that's where me and Brian Conway, Patrick Mangan, Matty Mancuso, a lot of the Pat Keogh, a lot of the local fiddle players all come from that lineage that goes back to the early 1900s.
Well, I do want to ask you some specifics maybe about this particular fiddle style coming up, but why don't we hear a little bit of what it sounds like?
Sure.
Are we going to hear you alone, or are we going to hear Siobhan initially?
Yeah, maybe I'll play something first. Sure. And then I'll play something from my CD, The Sligo Indians. And it came out on Smithsonian Folkways about 4 years ago, I guess going into 5 years now. It came out in 2008. So I'm still sporting that one around the country. Let me see. I'll play something. I'll play two reels from that CD. The second one I wrote called Linda Ray's. First one's the reel of Mullen Avat. Thank you.
Tony DeMarco, live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Tell us again the name of those tunes.
The Reel of Mullan Avat is a town in Ireland, Mullan Avat. And the second one I wrote called Linda Reyes, both reels.
And they can be heard on his CD called The Sligo Indians. So is it pretty common for fiddlers to just play solo?
I guess usually you'd have an accordion, not an accordion, sorry, accompaniment, I meant to say, like a guitar. The sort of backup of choice these days is kind of like, it's a little bit more modern than 30, 40 years ago, where it would be just kind of piano. And especially for Cayley bands, it'd be mostly piano. And it still is kind of for the Cayley bands. But now people really like playing with the guitars and bouzoukis, citerns. It's kind of like the instrument of choice for the accompaniment. So usually it'd be a duet, you know. But I chose to do the feet and percussion as my accompaniment for my tours lately, just because I always like the dancing with the music, and it's dance music. So, but I do solo things too. It's not that you can't do solo things.
Well, you just did.
Yeah, right. But for performances, like it's, you know, it's not always the norm to just have a solo fiddle. But some of my best records and recordings are solo fiddle records. You know, Tommy Potts' CD, the Liffey Banks. There's a couple of really nice ones. Or even other instruments, just hearing like the pure drops, so to say. You know, it's nice to have an unaccompanied record of whatever instrument you kind of like. But generally, you know, the bands are always kind of the festival's choice to get a band. They won't so much hire just a solo player, you know, for a festival. For smaller gigs, it's okay. And most of the house concerts that I've done up until this point have been alone. And then I have a few local guests come up, you know, wherever I am. But I'm getting tired of traveling alone, so I got Siobhan to come along with me.
And Siobhan is Siobhan Butler, who is going to be joining Tony DeMarco on the at a house concert tonight, as a matter of fact, at 8 o'clock. Dean Karras, who organizes the Piper's Hut Concert Series, is actually sitting next to me. Are there still seats available, Dean?
There are about two.
About two. Oof. So if you are interested in getting in on the house concert, what you want to do is actually email Dean. His address is piper's.hut@gmail.com. piper's.hut@gmail.com. And if you want more information, then and you're not going to be able to stick around for the whole hour here, the website is piper's-hut.com. That's where the dash came from. piper's-hut.com is the website for the Piper's Hut Concert Series to see if you can get in on the show tonight. It's piper's.hut@gmail.com. We'll repeat that later on. And we won't know during the course of the show if those are filled up. He'll be checking the email a little bit later on. Before we do hear some of the dancing along with the fiddle, can you talk a little bit about what the Sligo style, what distinguishes the Sligo style of fiddling from some other kind of Irish fiddling?
Well, generally, as far as our New York approach to it, because there's different levels of it, you know, like you could be just kind of like, you know, the folk music is kind of a social thing and it's dance music. So the thing that was special about Michael Coleman was he took it like a step further into vaudeville. He danced and played the fiddle. But the general characteristics of it are being lively dance music, you know, and it swings. It has a lot of rolls. There's long rolls in it, and they're kind of clear, you know, like that. And the bow triplets are very clear. And so there's a lot of flourishes and embellishments in it with the ornamentation, which some styles generally like the Donegal style would be like more staccato-y bowing and less roll-y rolls and things like that, and more almost like Scottish, you know, because they're up close to Scotland. And it really kind of geographically, you know, changes as you come from the north down to the south. Like the northern stuff, Donegal is very, you know, staccato-y, and as you come down into like Sligo and Leitrim and Mayo and Longford, it kind of comes and gets a little bit more swingy and hoppy. And then as you go even further, it kind of smooths out and gets a little bit more like going into Galway and Clare, especially down around Clare, you have this like really kind of lonesome, you know, modal, different type of stuff altogether. And then you go down even further into Cork and Kerry, and then you got all this whole other Cork and Kerry style, which is very kind of slidey. And like the slides and polkas, they play as their kind of basic tunes where we play jigs and reels. But they're both in kind of the same meters, but they're way different phrasings and accents. So the Sligo stuff is kind of real hoppy and lively and a lot of ornamentation. The Coleman legacy was variation. He never played something around twice the same way, which, you know, the average fiddle players might play this tune around four or five times the same way. So Coleman took it like to the next level of improvisation, highly ornamented, and that's kind of the characteristics of what we think of the Sligo style in New York. Of course, Coleman was the man that kind of put it on the map with his recordings back to wax cylinders, then 78s, then people, you know, restored them and put them onto albums and CDs. There's a great one that Harry Bradshaw put out, a double collection, and he took all those old, you know, scratchy 78s, cleaned them up, took the best ones. I think he made over like 100 recordings, Michael Coleman. And Harry Bradshaw did a nice collection and cleaned them up and put them on a double CD with a great booklet of all, just a lot of the story of his life and how he lived in Ireland and London and New York. So it's a good one to get. I'm not sure what label it's on, though. I think it's on an Irish label. I don't know if Dean, do you know where that, what label that's on, the Coleman stuff? But they could look, you know, you could find anything on the internet these days.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Just Google Michael Coleman, Irish fiddle.
So do you ever play in other fiddle styles yourself?
Well, I started with, you know, kind of Appalachian square dance stuff, skillet liquors, and listening to, my first teacher was Alan Kaufman, a fiddle player. They had a band in New York. They were from, you know, a bunch of Jewish guys from Brooklyn that formed a string band, and they took the name off of the Statue of Liberty, where it says, give us your... You're weak, you're humbled, you're wretched refuse. So they were the Wretched Refuse String Band. And they were characters. They were really funny. Citizen Kafka, Richie Schilberg was like hilarious comic. He's good friends with John Goodman, and they had a radio show in New York up until he passed away a few years ago. And they were like my first introduction into like string band music. And then we had the Bluegrass Club in New York. And they used to bring up a lot of Bill Monroe, you know, from Indiana here, next door to you, which he had the Bean Blossom Festival every year. So, you know, got to see Kenny Baker, one of my favorite fiddle players. Byron Berlin was a great Texas Oklahoma style. Vassar Clements, of course, was one of my favorites as well. So I have a lot of American. I'm pretty eclectic in that respect. And I grew up rock and roll. So what I first listened to on the fiddle were rock guys. I didn't get into it through folk music. Although we started learning, you know, was my first learning was folk music. But what got me interested in it was my friend, the guitar player, Phil, said, you know, you got to listen to these rock guys playing. It's like a hip instrument. I was like, I don't want to play the violin, you know. I was on the football teams and stuff. I don't want to be caught with a violin case walking around. So he was like, no, listen to, you know, Gene Luponte and Papa John Creech, Sugarcane Harris, you know, was amazing. Blues, Jerry Goodman was playing with John McLaughlin. So a lot of these violinists that had gotten into the fusion scene and mixing, you know, blues and rock and jazz and all of that stuff were really the first violin music that I listened to. Then we went for lessons, like I said, from the Retro Refuse guys were teaching at the Fretted Instrument School in New York in Greenwich Village. And that's where I first went for lessons to learn fiddle music.
That resulted in your passing out of your passing your class in the
yeah, and that helped me get out of high school.
Yeah, right.
And then all the Irish guys were right under my nose that I eventually found out about. And then once I started hearing the Irish stuff, I really liked it more than anything at the time, and started pursuing that.
And you got hooked.
Found out about Coleman and Patty Reynolds lived two blocks from me, and then the rest is the reason why I'm here.
Right. And Tony DeMarco is here for a house concert tonight, along with dancer Siobhan Butler, who is also in the studio with us. And she's got her very small dance floor set up with some, are those red shoes?
Mm-hmm.
Red shoes that
they're
will make
my ruby
a little
slippers.
Bit of ruby slippers, yeah. What do you want to do together here?
Well, we might try a little jig into a. Or you want to say something about it? Or
go ahead.
Yeah, there's a tune that's we've been just experimenting with. Sometimes I like to play tunes in different tempos. So we're doing this one tune. It's called Stenson's, and we do it as a jig and a reel. So we might try that for you. That's a jig first. Three, four.
Tony DeMarco on the fiddle and Siobhan Butler on the feet, on her feet on the floor here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Percussive dancer is what you call yourself.
Yeah.
How does that differ from, you know, probably the Irish dancing that most of us are most familiar with, which I guess is what you'd call step dancing, which seems awfully percussive to me.
It is, but I like to use the term percussive dance because a lot of what I do has a lot of different influences, so it's not just Irish stuff. I spent some time studying tap, flamenco, Cape Breton, Quebecois stuff, so I try to take different elements from all those and kind of merge them into one. Even though it's predominantly Irish, there's definitely some other influences in there, so...
But you did do, I mean, you sort of got going initially in Irish step dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm one of the classic stories of any kid who grew up in the early 90s. You know, Michael Flatley and Gene Butler, they were all the rage. So that's why I started dancing. I'm pretty Irish, but I didn't really grow up with any other Irish influence. So when I saw that on TV, I just knew automatically that was what I wanted to do. And even though I was just a toddler at the time, you know, it was a huge life-changing thing. So I got into it, and then I went through the whole competitive scene. And then a few years ago, I discovered Shannos dance, which is the old style of Irish dancing, and I realized just how cool it would be because there seems to be a lot more interaction with the music and a lot more creative expression overall. It's less rigid and less choreographed. It's predominantly an improvised dance style, so I thought it would be fun to at least explore it. I was studying a lot, like I said before, I was studying a lot of different other percussive dance styles just to kind of try something new. And Shannos was one of those. So I fell in love with it and haven't looked back.
And Shannos, by the way, is spelled, for those who didn't, well, you wouldn't know anyway, but it's, unless you happen to know, S-E-A-N-N-O-S.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Shannos style singing.
Yeah.
We've had, you had somebody, Dean.
Lynn Graham is probably the most.
Yeah, and I'm blanking on the group that sort of came out of, down out of Chicago, who was on the, your series. Was it Chicago or was it Minnesota?
Well, there are elements of all of them. Bua.
Bua, that's right.
Oh, Brian Hart.
Brian Hart.
He's a Shannos dancer, too.
Oh, I knew that, but he didn't do it on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't get to go to the concert.
I think he's the only other Shannos dancer that has red shoes like me.
Oh,
yeah. So we have the Red Shoe Club.
And both fairly young as well. So you were born in England,
mm-hmm.
but you don't sound like it.
No, I was only there for a few years. My parents were both in the Air Force. That's actually where they met. So I grew up traveling around a lot, so it's kind of easier to say where I was born than where I'm from.
But you also said, I'm fairly Irish.
Yeah.
With a name like Siobhan, another spelling conundrum, by the way. S-I-O-B-H-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
I learned how to spell that, by the way, on the public TV show Ballykiss Angel.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
There's a character named Siobhan, mm-hmm. and you don't know how they spell these names until you see the credits at the end, and then you know the names of the characters, and then you see these names written out, and you think, well, who's that?
Yeah.
And then you realize that, oh, that's that.
Yeah.
So on. But anyway, so fairly Irish, so that mm-hmm. your parents' background is...
Yeah, my dad is pretty much entirely Irish. There's a little bit of German in there. And my mom is about half and half. She's pretty Norwegian and Swedish, too. So that's kind of more of the culture that I grew up with. But even that would just go as far as, like, Swedish meatballs and lingonberry sauce.
But so the music part wasn't there. You
no,
picked that
no,
up
not at
own.
All. Not from any side. So, again, it was just this one... quick, you know, visual of Michael Flatley clicking his heels and dancing across the stage that I automatically knew that was what I wanted to do.
That was it, huh?
Yeah.
You were, what, 7 or something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I started when I was 8. So.
And so I was watching, of course, I was watching your interaction, and there did seem to be some interaction between you and Tony.
Mm-hmm.
A couple times he did sort of a lean thing, and I don't know if that was to indicate stop there or stomp there, or, you know, if it's improvisational and you don't necessarily know how he's going to do it, how do you know what to do?
Well, I even though I don't play an instrument other than my feet, you could say, I'm pretty well acquainted with the tunes, just spending most of my life around the music. So this particular tune, you know, I could probably hum it if I wanted to, or sing it or something. So there's just these different accents, you could say, and on each of those accents, you know, we kind of like look at each other, and we've been performing with each other for a long enough time now where, you know, we could kind of pick up on each other's hints and at least guess. Most of the time we get it right.
Intuitive.
I think, but
intuitive.
Yes.
So performing, what does that mean? How long you've been working together?
For the last year.
Yeah.
I guess.
Just over a year.
But there's pieces of the tune that you can pick out and say, well, this is where we're going to do something. So,
some of it you do plan ahead.
So she needs to know, the dancers do need to know the melody. It helps, which is kind of the cool thing I think about the Shornos style is I mean, maybe we're taking it a little step, the next step into really kind of choreographing it. But like one of the guys she met, and you could tell him about Joe Dwyer when you met him and what he said about Seamus and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we were just in Ireland competing at the Oireachtas, which is a Gaelic-speaking festival. It's a festival that's was created like 125 years ago just to preserve the Irish language and the Irish arts. So however many years ago, they incorporated a dance competition into it. And so we went there to compete. And we actually got on TG Cahir live national television, which is pretty cool. But anyway, aside from that, we went to a session in, where was it?
Sligo.
In Quiche, Sligo. Yeah. It was a small little pub, you know, like maybe 20 people could fit in it. Really, really small. And one of these, there was this old man, maybe like, you know, 85 or something, sitting in the corner at the bar and, you know, just opposite from the musicians and everybody around. And one of our friends pointed him out as being this great Sligo dancer. And he mentioned that he happened to be in a book. And I'm actually studying ethnochoreology, so...
Ethno what?
Ethnochoreology. It's basically like the dance version of ethnomusicology. So okay. It's anthropology, musicology, you know, everything related to folk dance, essentially.
That's a brand new term on me. Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Not too many people know about it. But so the book that our friend was actually telling us about, I had read, and I automatically went back. I think it's in like the first chapter of this book that Helen Brennan wrote. It's called The Story of Irish Dance. And in the first chapter, she mentions these two Sligo Shanos dancers who have created their own style to match the music of Seamus Tansey, the great flute player from Sligo. So I guess the three of them were great friends, and two of them were dancers who just love the music. So.
And one of them was there.
And so one of this guy... these guys was this old man sitting at the bar, Joe Dwyer. Not Joe Dwyer, Mike Dwyer. Joe Dwyer's in New York.
Oh, yeah,
another dancer, Mike Dwyer. And so that was like kind of a surreal moment for me. It was really cool. And I, you know, he's an older guy, but the great thing about this style of dance is you can kind of do it throughout your entire life. You don't have to be, you know, 15 or 20. Or 20 or something, you know, you can be 85 if you want to dance, just because it's so low impact.
So did you get him off the bar to do a little
dancing?
So
I was kind of like, hey, Mike, you know, you think you could show me a few steps? I would love it. You know, I never get to be around people like you with such history. And so he was like, oh, no, you know, I'm not really sure. You know, why don't you just go, you keep dancing. And
he waited till nobody was paying him much mind, and then
right.
he got up.
Exactly. And it was for like 20 seconds, but it was brilliant.
And then he
it
got
was
up
brilliant.
And did a few steps.
He just jumped
like,
off his stool, did a few steps, and then jumped back up
so
and
happy.
Acted and like he it. Like nothing had happened. But it was perfect.
Well, why don't we have a few steps more? You're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9 with Tony DeMarco and Siobhan Butler. They're going to be performing in a house concert tonight on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. And if there are a couple of seats left, if you want to send an email to pipers.hut, pipers.hut@gmail.com, and it'll be first come, first serve. If there's still spaces left, then Dean Karras will get back to you early evening sometime and let you know that you got in. The concert starts at 8 o'clock. And our programming today is made possible in part by 10,000 Villages in downtown Champaign. For over 25 years, 10,000 Villages has provided income to artisans in more than 30 developing countries by marketing their handicrafts and telling their stories in North America. Got it worked out?
Yeah, we're going to just try. I didn't want to do the whole thing, but we'll just... I usually do a slow air, and it's kind of a ballad type of thing, and then we go into the same tune as a set piece. It's a tune called The Blackbird. And you want to say something about The Blackbird?
Yeah. Well, I was told that The Blackbird is actually one of the oldest set dances that was created.
Set dance, meaning?
Set dance. So it's a dance that's been specifically choreographed to fit this certain tune. Mm. So there's hundreds out there, but this one is one that we've been working on because it was one of the first ones that I actually learned. And the slow air that Tony plays before is actually on a CD, so it's kind of a nice...
I can get to plug the CD.
Random happening. Yeah, exactly.
And then we can go into a dance together. But the set pieces are... They're generally really for music and dance together. They're written for the dancers, kind of. Or oftentimes dancers that are musical write them to go with their steps. And they're sometimes longer, too. B parts are extended. So they're really all about the dance. So we'll try this one, the Blackbird. I'll just play a little bit of the air, the ballad, before it. And then we'll go into it as kind of in hornpipe tempo. This will be a little bit of the B part.
So in that one, it looked to me like there was a little more resemblance to the step dancing that I'm familiar with than the first dance he did.
Yeah, definitely. This is kind of more of an old style step dance. So it's still got the cross and the turnout, but not at the high kick. So.
Of course, we'd have to have a TV show to know exactly what you mean by the cross and the turnout.
Well, just what you mean. Right, right.
No, they have to come to the concert tonight.
Exactly.
or that, yeah. But as we said, there's very limited number of spaces.
I know.
One of these days, we'll turn this into a TV show. Yeah, we keep talking about it, but we need a lot more money to do that. Send us money, people.
We
could do a whole lot more things.
We'll have
with
to
the
do
station
a fundraiser.
With a lot more money. Now, that's always true. Will.illinois.edu, that's our website, and there's got to be a pledge button on there somewhere, or else willpledge.org. I got that in. How about that?
Yeah.
Tony and Siobhan are going to be doing a house concert tonight in Urbana. And on the Piper's Hut concert series, you can find out more about coming concerts. I think the next one is on March 12th with a group called Full Set, and the website is pipers-hut.com. And that's a Tuesday show, so hopefully we'll be lucky and get those guys on the show, too. Often works out. I was just reading a little bit about in your bio here. You mentioned some of your background. Actually, you said your mom's maiden name was Dempsey. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, oh, Jack Dempsey, the boxer. And then I read here that your dad actually was a boxer.
Yeah, he was a Golden Gloves champ. As a kid, and then he was All-Army lightweight champ in 1954. And he was going to go pro, and my grandfather had it all hooked up with his friends, and my mother said, no way. And so, good for us, you know, that he didn't. And he wound up going into the financials, and we all became commodities traders. From him not being a boxer and going into, you know, he was a good numbers guy. He was really good with, you know, figures and numbers and stuff.
His career probably lasted longer than.
Yeah. So he went into the bank, working in banks. Then he went into the stock world. And then he went into the commodities world, which is where we wound up until not too long ago. We just got out of it and got bought out by an electronic platform. So 150 years of trading in the pits and screaming and yelling at each other is gone to electronic trading.
But you also have plenty of music in your background, and I don't know how I missed this before. You have a cousin who I've actually heard of.
Yeah, he's
John
pretty,
Patitucci, who's
pretty
a,
famous. Yeah.
Yeah, a really well-known jazz bassist.
And he's on my CD too.
Oh, I probably did see that.
Yeah,
actually.
The last track it was an air that Andy McGann wrote, and I had him come in and play the bass, and it was kind of cool because he brought in a bass. That he brought to the session was a bass my Uncle John Fenimore on my mother's Italian side found for him in a pawn shop. And it was a really beautiful bass, all carved around the sides and stuff. So he said, I brought this bass in because Uncle John found it for me in a pawn shop. So I thought it'd be cool to have it on our recording. But he's torn with Wayne Shorter now. I think they're coming out here this way soon.
If they are, I need to.
Or maybe Nashville. I think they were coming to Nashville or somewhere. Anyway,
Nashville's a little bit different.
Yeah, we kind of started off down in Nashville and Knoxville, so I know he's coming down there. Maybe he's coming up this way too. But they're all over. They're one of the big jazz bands out there. You play with Chick Corea and Herbie Hancock, and
you guys were just at the Grand Ole Opry.
And we were just down in Nashville. Yeah, we did the Opry Friday night. And we're going to post some of that video, as well as the Aractus video. You know, we were fortunate that Siobhan made it into the finals in Ireland, and we got a really nice video because once you make it into the finals, you go on television on TG4, which is, you know, national television over there. And so they were nice enough to send us the DVDs of the whole show. So we put that on our website. Can I plug the website?
Yeah, sure.
www.sbutler, like Siobhan Butler, sbutler-tonyd.com. So that's our website that we have as a duo, and we'll put some of those videos up from the Opry. And there's already something up there from the Aractus competition.
So when you did the Opry, did you do it just as a duo, or were you with
No, we were
part
with Mike Snyder. Mike Snyder's a banjo player, comedian, really funny guy. And he does the show every Friday and Saturday. And so my friend Brian Christensen is his fiddle player. And Brian has a little shop in Nashville called The Fiddle House where he repairs and builds fiddles. So we did the concert down there on Sunday. And he said, you know, the next time you come down, Mike loves Irish music. Come down and we'll have you on the Opry with us. So we were fortunate enough, and Siobhan might have been the first show-nosed dancer to ever be on the Grand Ole Opry, which is kind of cool.
You might as well run with that.
Yes,
right. By the way, show-nosed was used a few times. I think the term just means old style.
Yeah,
right?
Literally, more just old style. I think some people say it can also mean old school, but the meaning is essentially the same.
More or less the same, as opposed to that newfangled stuff that Michael Flatley brought along.
Yeah.
He did good, though.
He did good.
He did just fine.
Yeah. He's a good friend. We know him from before, the whole Riverdance thing. He was always a nice guy and a great musician and dancer.
And now retired, right, I think.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
At least
he retired that one show.
I think he was putting something else together, maybe.
Well, I heard that he was performing a couple years ago. I don't know if he still is, but...
Put it this way, he has enough money to retire.
If your legs are insured for $40 million, I guess you could keep going if you wanted to.
Yeah, that's right. Well, what do you want to do next? Fiddle or fiddle and dance? Or
why don't you do something?
I'll do something?
Yeah.
All right. I've been doing this thing where when they write the books and collections and stuff, a lot of times they put hop jigs into the same category as slip jigs. So this bothers me.
You're going to have to explain the difference now.
I've been on this mission to, like, you know, differentiate between hop jigs and slip jigs. And then even the dancers think of hop jigs and almost like what the musicians think of as slides or single jigs. So And just by the way, the slip jig is actually, I think, the only indigenous rhythm to Ireland. Most of the other stuff has come from Europe, like regular jigs. And me and my Italian side always says that the Irish stole the regular jigs from the Italian tarantellas. So we get into great arguments about that. But as far as the hop jig and the slip jig go, I use a tune that is from, kind of got put on the musical map by one of my favorite fiddle players from Dublin, who loved the Clare style, and he loved the Clare players. I know you've probably heard of Martin Hayes, but before Martin, there was like Paddy Canny, P.J. Hayes, Martin's dad, Bobby Casey, and there was quite a few other ones, but those were kind of the big names. Paddy Fahey wrote all those beautiful minor modal deep dark tunes, and it's a more of a darker style, more melancholy kind of sound. So Tommy loved that style, and he kind of put the butterfly on the map as the tune that he played as a hop jig, but somehow a lot of people played it as a slip jig too. I think the Bothy Band recorded it as a slip jig. So I'm talking about Tommy Potts, great fiddle player, and as we were talking before, it's just a solo fiddle album, nothing else. So it's beautiful for fiddle players or anybody to listen to. And he was like very creative, in some ways like Coleman, where he just improvised tremendously, but he also took it out of the box of just Irish traditional sort of scales. He had to listen to like Indian and Eastern gypsy stuff, because the way he improvised, nobody else you ever heard played like this guy. So I always plug that record to Liffey Banks, Tommy Potts. And so I'll play the slip jig and then the way he played it as a hop jig, just to show the difference in tempos. First one was the slip jig, and then the hop jig was second.
So it's more a tempo thing?
So it's a big tempo change, yeah. I mean, it's not even close. So that's why I always got kind of never understood why they put them in the same category as slip jigs. Anyway.
And so that was the butterfly?
Or that was the tune is the butterfly. Yeah.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah, it's very popular. But on Tommy Potts' record, he plays it like the hop jig, which is kind of cool. So,
Tony DeMarco here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. He'll be on a house concert tonight at 8 o'clock on the Piper's Hut Concert Series. As of the start of the show, anyway, there were still a couple of seats left. You can email pipers.hut@gmail.com and let Dean Karras know you want to get in, and he will get back to you sometime after the show and let you know if you're the first ones to get served. And Tony will be joined by Siobhan Butler, who will be doing some percussive dancing as well as you're hanging on the show. We'll do one more tune in just a couple of minutes. Let me mention some other things that are going on in our listening area over the next couple of days. At 6 o'clock this evening, in Decatur, there's a Millikan University Preparatory Department recital. That'll be at Kuiper Hall on the Millikan campus, 6 o'clock. Champaign-Urbana Singer-Songwriter Collective is presenting various singers at Clark Bar in Champaign this evening at 7 o'clock. The series of Johannes Brahms' instrumental music with piano, featuring pianist Ian Hobson and friends, continues tonight in Smith Recital Hall on the U of I campus in Urbana at 7:30. And the traditional jazz orchestra at the Iron Post in Urbana starts up in just a few minutes at 5 o'clock. Tomorrow it's Louder and Manning at the No Name Bar in Springfield at 5:30. The traditional Irish music session is at Dublin O'Neill's in downtown Champaign every Wednesday at 8:30. And it's the Starlight Ball in Danville at the Healthy Aging Center with music by the Prairie Dogs. That starts tomorrow evening at 6:30. Olivia Flanagan is at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And on Thursday, it's Christian McBride and Inside Straight at the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts tomorrow, Thursday night at 7:30. Sorry, we weren't able to get an interview with Christian McBride, but I did try to do that. Just didn't happen. And then Millikan Opera Theater presenting some sacred and secular cantatas by Bach at the Albert Taylor Theater on the Millikan campus in Decatur. That's going to be Thursday at 7:30, and I guess we'll leave it there for now. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9, and we're a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois on 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR, classical music, and more for Central Illinois. On tomorrow's program, we'll be having some new music by Peter Michailov live in the studio. And to be honest, I'm forgetting who's going to be the second half of the show, but it will be what it will be, and we'll put up our promo, and you can listen for that on the station before too long. Tony and Siobhan, thanks for coming in. What do you want to
thank you.
End thanks. Up with?
And I think we'll finish off with a reel, in two different keys, and then Siobhan will do a little dance break in between the key change.
So I wasn't going to get to hear the dancing in two keys?
No.
Oh.
But
I forgot the one down yet.
Her shoes are tuned up perfectly.
That's where she changes from the red shoes to the blue shoes.
Yeah, right. But thanks for having us, Kevin.
Yeah,
and
thanks.
Dean, thanks for putting together a concert within, a week's time, which was pretty impressive. So thanks for that and your support. He always supports the traditional music. We're on our way up to Chicago, but hopefully if anybody's out there that has any festivals or stuff, we're trying to get back into the festival scene and stuff. So look at us at the website there, sbutlers-tonyd.com. So here's Miss McLeod's and with the fiddle and dance.